T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning. It's a little icy here in the Twin Cities, but a nice day. Mike is in New Orleans for the Viking game. Mike, do we have you with us?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear. Hear a little background noise, but that's pretty standard for New Orleans.
not a little. Down New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah, it's a noisy place to play. We'll start things out. We had a little conversation about the Gopher Bowl victory. Sid has joined us here in the studio. Sid, what are your thoughts on the Gopher Bowl victory?
Well, I was shocked. I had no idea that they could win that game. And the one weakening that Auburn had was the pass defense. And they're 40th in the country defending against the pass. And the Gophers certainly took advantage of that weakness.
You know,
and, now that puts them on the map for next year, the start of the season. The big question is, will they miss those defensive guys? I'm sure Winfield could have turned pro. There's no doubt about that. So we'll see what happens.
Well, let's get Mike Max involved. Mike, I was there. I was on the 46-yard line, 7 rows or 8 rows behind the Gopher bench. So I had one point of view. But from where we sat, and there were scattered Auburn fans among us, I think what they were maybe most shocked about and what the Gopher fans among us were most shocked about was the Gophers' control of both lines of scrimmage in that game.
Unbelievable. Falela out, Paulson out. You thought, uh-oh, especially the way the game started. You know, they get the interception. And
yeah.
I said earlier, I thought that the muff punt by Auburn was huge because they had some momentum and they would have good field position and they fumbled the punt and then the Gophers went in and it became a back and forth the rest of the way. But, I was shocked. I couldn't believe they could handle that defensive line. And, Dave, you saw it up close. But, I mean, Auburn came to play. This was no exhibition to them. They were all in for this thing.
You know, Auburn, Sid, is a great airport team. When they walked out on the field for pregame practice, you saw the size and the athleticism of those guys. I had to admit, I said, I don't know if the Gophers have, you know, can keep up with it, but the game plan of the Gophers, I've been to all but one Gopher Bowl game since I missed the one in 62 at the Rose Bowl, but I don't remember a better Gopher Bowl experience. Sid, you've seen all the Gopher Bowl games back to including the Rose Bowls. How would you rate the Gopher performance in the Outback Bowl with some of the best Gopher Bowl performances you've seen?
As I said, this goes up as one of the best wins of all time, way back to Michigan win and stuff like that.
So I want to make sure you get your microphone in front of you there. We're having a little, oh, there you go. All right, we're good. I just want to make sure you're Mike, you're 1,200 miles away. How can you know what we're talking about?
because I've been there before. I can see Sid backing away. He gets so excited about talking about the bowl game. You know, they had a great one a couple years ago, of course, when they shocked everybody against Washington State. But this was against the big boys, you know. And this was against a team that you can recruit with now and all those things. And so that just was a game changer for the Wisconsin win last year at Wisconsin. And this one I'd put as the two biggest ones since P.J. got here in a lot of respect. And Penn State, obviously, this year.
Yeah, I certainly was at the Penn State game, and I thought it was the biggest win I'd seen in a long time, comparable at least to the one at Wisconsin last year. But on a national scheme of things, I moved this one up a notch, bigger, because the national TV ratings were so good. On a New Year's Day, a noon kickoff or 1 o'clock kickoff on the East Coast, you had a great television audience. I think a lot of people looked at the game, and because the game was close and interesting, the original numbers I saw as people stuck with it, said, I think the Gophers, there are a couple stories coming out of the game, and one of them is how well this positions the Gopher team going forward for next year and beyond. I think people are starting to believe to take this team seriously.
it'll be ready to hire for next year. You know, just say they have it not ready for next year. They have a tougher schedule, no doubt about that. But all of a sudden, their Minnesota football is back where it was years ago. Like, Blake talks about the Blue Days. I don't know. I never heard that before. The Blue Days.
You know, I've got text messages. I have some at home starting at 8 o'clock this morning. People want to know if P.J. Fleck is going to join us. P.J. Fleck will be with us in about 20 minutes from right now at his regular time. It'll be fun to talk to him. In the meantime, before we go to break, Mike, we've got Steve Jordan coming up. We're going to give Steve a phone call in a couple of minutes. There's a special Steve Jordan storyline to this game, to this Viking game today.
Yeah, he's down here because his son Cameron is one of the best defensive linemen in all of football. And key to today's game, they figured they'll move him around and try to wreak havoc on an offensive line that really has been a little bit suspect the last few weeks. And so, obviously, storyline one for the Vikings is that they lost two cornerbacks. Storyline two is their offensive line has had some problems of late. And Steve's son Cam, the same year that Steve goes into the Ring of Honor, is going to try to beat his Minnesota Vikings. So that's a pretty good storyline.
Yeah, and there's some secondary storylines, like what happened in the playoff in Minnesota, the Minneapolis Miracle. You know, of all the games that the Vikings could have drawn as we watched things going into last Sunday, I was working out all the scenarios. I said, please don't let it come together that the Vikings wind up with New Orleans. And unfortunately, that's the way it broke. But you got to play everybody en route to the Super Bowl. We're going to take a break here, and we'll use that break time to get Steve Jordan on the line. So we'll talk to Steve Jordan. And then just to preview things, P.J. Fleck will join us at 10:30. Mark Coyle at 10:45. Matt Maka of the Wild at 11:05. Richard Pitino, they've got a big game this afternoon. He joins us at 11:15. We'll hear from a number of Viking players along the way. It's going to be a really packed 2 hours. You won't want to miss it. We'll start things out with that interview with Steve Jordan in about 3 minutes from right now, and you're listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back as promised. We have a chance now to talk to Steve Jordan. Steve Jordan, obviously one of the top Vikings, an offensive performer, a tight end for the Vikings. His son going to be a major factor, Cam Jordan, on the defensive line for New Orleans today. Mike caught up with him in. Mike, are you guys both there at the game? Probably not together, but both in the stadium?
I'm in the stadium, and I believe Steve is somewhere too here.
It's a little loud, but we'll make the best of it. Steve, obviously Cam, you're doing a great job along the defensive line. The odds makers for this game today, about 7.5 points in favor of New Orleans. I think there's every reason to be thinking that that's a pretty accurate number. From your point of view, what does this game look like today?
You know, I think it's going to be a tight game. I'm not sure about the 7.5 points even. You know, when you look at it, Dalvin Cook is back. When Dalvin Cook is in the mix, you know, that team is operating at a higher level of performance overall. And I just think it's going to be a great game today. And I see it being pretty tight, actually.
Steve, one of your old friends, Sid Hartman, is here and wants to say good morning. Sid?
How you doing, Steve?
Good, Sid. Good. It's really good to hear from you, big guy.
Long-time friend. Well, New Orleans got a great quarterback. Where did you have to overcome him?
I'm not sure what the question was. I think he was talking about Breeze and how your defense drew Breeze.
Oh, yeah. You know, Breeze is Breeze, right? I mean, he's been great all year. He's, you know, he's shooting out records every day. You know, he's only going to add to it. But again, I like the Vikes defense too, though. You know, I mean, their defense has been pretty darn good. Eric Kendricks, you know, Barr, all the guys, you know, on defense, Danielle Hunter has just had a tremendous season. So, you know, you almost need somebody like a Drew Brees to try to attack that defense. So I'm looking for them to come up with some nice play on both sides of that equation today.
Maxie, you're up.
Yeah, you know, Steve, I'm sitting down here on the floor of it, and I remember a lot of conversation about the Vikings went through New Orleans and San Francisco in 1987. I'm sure you remember it well. What do you remember about coming in here and Wade Wilson and everything else when you guys pulled off that mega upset?
You know, it was some obviously fond memories, great memories, and I do remember, you know, we're coming in here. We again, did not have much of a chance at all. If you remember, people kind of considered us backing into the playoffs, I think. And we came in, but you know what? We were really confident in ourselves, and we knew what our team could do, and we just wanted to put it on display. And sure enough, you know, we showed up in a big way here in New Orleans, and that kicked us off to hit on the road and you know, like you said, on to San Francisco, on to you know, the Redskins. So yeah, it was great memories. But again, for that team, we had confidence in ourselves that I think a lot of people outside of Minnesota did not have.
Hey, Steve, let's talk about your son a little bit. He's going to be a featured player in today's game. As I recall, he was born here in the Twin Cities. Then you guys moved to Chandler, Arizona. Two questions. One, how did he become such a star on the defensive side of the ball when his dad was an offensive star? And secondly, I'm trying to remember from the time, didn't he do very well in track in Arizona or maybe field events?
Yeah, you know, number one, you know, getting to defense versus offense, you know, he's just a really good athlete. God blessed him with some size and some speed. I always wanted him to be a tight end, of course, because, frankly, he could catch. You know, he actually can catch everything. He's got great hand-eye coordination. But you know what? He likes to hit people. So I said, well, you know what? If you like to hit people, then light it up. And I think he also did not necessarily want to follow in dad's footsteps. So in terms of tight end, he wanted to kind of forge his own path. Hey, we're always good with that. As parents, you just want your kids to flourish and whatever works for them. And then in terms of, you know, getting here to the Saints, all that, I mean, obviously he just, you know, and becoming the player that he has, he's really put himself and applied himself to the craft. And, you know, obviously as a dad, I showed him the ropes in terms of, you know, the workouts, the attention to detail, the studies, the film, all that sort of thing. And he's done a good job, and he's worked himself into a nice position here.
And then just maybe I'm remembering or imagining it, but I think I remember when he was in high school, was he a state champion in, you know, shot or discus? I remember he was really a good track athlete.
Yeah, he was. He actually, like I said, he can run. You know, truth be told, he did win the state championship in discus. Frankly, he and Everson Griffith ended up competing against each other. And Everson actually won the state at the 4A level, and Cam won the state at 5A level. They actually competed against each other and pushed themselves to some really good numbers in a couple of competitions. So there's some old history there as well.
Good sidebar story there. Sidney, your question.
How young was he when you got him interested in football, your son?
The question was, how young was he when he got interest in football? I would imagine it was pretty early, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Say that again.
Sid was wondering at what stage did Cam show a real interest in football?
Yeah, you know, it was after. Well, he played Pop Warner 1 year. We didn't let him play organized ball until the eighth grade, and he started out with not so much interest because he thought he was going to be a basketball guy. But frankly, by the end of the season, he fell in love with the game, and he became a team captain. And frankly, he's been that at every level ever since. You know, he started, you know, in high school, really, you know, started to embrace the game as a offensive lineman and a defensive lineman. And then toward the end, he really, you know, gravitated toward the defensive line. But again, team captain at high school, and then he went on to, you know, Cal and played at UC Berkeley, and same thing there. You know, ultimately became a team captain, and you know, he's a good kid. I'd like to say God bless us with three great children, and he's one of them that just brings some, you know, great things to the table, and just a good all-around kid. So he's had some enjoyed some success.
Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, Steve, I got one last question. I'll disengage from rejoining you guys about 10:45. But explain what game day is like in New Orleans.
In New Orleans,
get up in the morning. He's having every NFL city has, but this is the feature piece, and you've been to a lot of home games here. Explain to people game day and a weekend in New Orleans when the Saints are playing, particularly in the playoffs, because it's like nowhere else.
Right, it is like nowhere else. I mean, it's a party. You know, I mean, New Orleans is known for their celebrations, and they bring it strong. I mean, people come here, they get a bit of the flavor of New Orleans, which, you know, obviously the French Quarter, all of that's happening. But there's just a lot of other history that goes on here. But people, you know, they got the jerseys on all week. I mean, it's insane. And then come the game day, they've got the plaza across right here adjacent to the stadium. It's a band going. It's just one large party, and they really get after it. Inside, they've got music going, and it's just a lot of fanfare. It's a pretty unique situation, you know. And then of course when the team scores, you know, they got the music going, people are dancing in the stands and all that sort of thing. It's pretty amazing, actually.
Maxie, I know you've got to go do something for TV. We're going to let you go. I've got one last question for Steve. Steve, I think I was reading online that your son signed a nice contract with something like $42 million guaranteed. When you go out for dinner, who picks up the tab?
You know, I actually still try to pick up the tab.
What a dad.
Right. You know, sometimes he doesn't let me, but I try to pick it up when I can.
Well, you've raised an outstanding kid. Not only is he a terrific lineman, but everything we read about him, he's the same kind of solid citizen there in New Orleans as you were here in the Twin Cities. And I think it speaks to the family line and growing up that he did somewhere along the way. He got some pretty good advice at home. Sid, you want to say goodbye?
Do you remember playing against New Orleans?
Oh yes, absolutely, for sure. Like I said, we had a great game here, and you know, we're able to keep going. And so, you know, we'll see. Let the best team win today, because I think it's gonna be a great battle, and the fans are gonna be treated to quite a game today.
Steve Jordan, always a pleasure to be related with you, and good luck. I can't wish you good luck today, but in the future, hoping New Orleans wins all the games your son plays in.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for being available to us today. Really appreciate it. Your insights on a game where you're kind of divided in your loyalties.
True that. But you know what? Even, like you said, Cam and all our kids were born in Minnesota. Truth be told, they're Viking fans as well. So, I mean, you know, I'm conflicted. Cam is a little conflicted, but he's pretty focused right now. So
I think Kirk Cousins is focusing on that big Viking fan part of your son today, hoping that he may ease up just a little bit. I don't see it happening. Thanks so much. You bet. Appreciate
you
joining us. Always look forward to when you return to the Twin Cities. That's Steve Jordan. We'll take a break here. Come back with P.J. Fleck right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back. Coach P.J. Fleck is standing by. And Sid always asks the first question before he says congratulations. So I want to throw out congratulations to Coach Fleck and the Gopher football team. I had a chance to be down there in Tampa sitting about 9 rows right behind the coach, although he never stood still long enough to say that. It was an outstanding football game, not only appreciated locally but nationally. And we're pleased to have you on this morning, Coach. Thanks so much. And here's Sid. Sid?
You look back at the mess you inherited when you took this job. Did you ever think you could go and be in this position this now?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's what we said from day one of what it would be like. We said it'd take a while, but we knew exactly what we could do, and that's the reason why we took the job, and that's the reason that we had the vision that we had. But we did talk about, you know, year one being year zero, and then last year being year one, and this year being year two, based on getting different types of recruits here and bringing your culture here, and then also having guys that truly, truly wanted to be here that when we inherited them to stay. And those were our 11 seniors this year that did a great job. So, of course, you always have that vision, and you want to make it work, and you got to stick to your plan. And I learned something a long time ago: don't sacrifice what you really want down the road for what you want right now. And some people are willing to sacrifice that, some people aren't. But for us, that's kind of our recipe.
How good is that Johnson going to be in the NFL?
Well, he's going to be really, really talented. You know, he's just a talented person, a talented player, and he's got a bright future down the road. I think any NFL team is going to be really excited to get him. One thing I know about Tyler is Tyler's just going to keep getting better. You know, he loved to get better, and I think that's what I think a lot of the secrets are for people who stay in the NFL for a long time and have longevity. They just want to get better, and he'll do that.
PJ, could you talk about the play at the line of scrimmage? I think going into the game, some people said that was where Auburn's strength was, especially on the defensive side of the ball. No sacks, Morgan generally having plenty of time to call the game that he wanted to call. What can you say about both your offensive and your defensive lines?
Well, first of all, I thought our defensive line didn't get enough credit for that game, for that win. I think our defense, the success we had on offense kind of gets overshadowed by the success I thought we had on defense. You know, I thought we were able to spot them 10 points based on, you know, the offense or special teams not necessarily playing up to par. But when you look at the defensive performance and the defensive line, I thought we really dominated the line of scrimmage. And I think that just goes back to coaches putting people in the right positions and letting your players play and everybody knowing what to do and then just playing with their hearts and playing at a high level. We had to play with the how. We call it the how, which is, you know, basically, excuse me, your heart, your spirit, your unconquerable will the entire game, or we felt like, you know, they would be able to skillfully dominate us. And our guys did that. On the offensive side, we felt like we were going to have to find a way to get their defensive line moving side to side, wear them out, throw screens, nakeds. I mean, we naked and move the pocket more than we ever have. Boots, sprint out, screens to the back, screens to the wide outs, get them running forward, running backwards, chasing the ball, because we felt like that was our only shot to be able to control the line of scrimmage, was to be able to mix up the runs on the inside zone, outside zone, and then move the pocket as much as we can. We moved the pocket more than we ever did in the entire year. And, you know, we were able to have success.
You see the game plan of one of Auburn's opponents when you went into that game?
Well, you always study lots of film, Sid. You know, you're always studying different people, how they were able to handle them. And, you know, this team was very difficult to do that with because they only had three losses. And those three losses came to the top 10 teams. You know, and when you looked at, you know, those guys and the talent they had, whether that was LSU, whether that was Florida, you could see that it was going to be a very difficult game for us. And we had to be able to have the right game plan to fit our players, to put them in the best position to be successful. And I thought our players did a great job executing it.
PJ, I talked about game plan. I thought it was just an outstanding game plan. A couple of comments. One is, after the game, you went out and got yourself a new coordinator, but also promoted the person who gave such a good performance with his game plan and the execution in that game. Talk about that. And then a guy I thought was a little bit underappreciated was Bryce Witham. And clearly the catch in the end zone, he was open, but the one-handed catch he made on fourth down was phenomenal.
Yeah, first and foremost, really excited about Mike Sanford Jr. joining our staff. He comes with a wealth of knowledge as a coordinator and as a head coach, and he's only 37 years old. I thought Matt Simon did a great job calling the game, preparing for the game, and I thought so many of our offensive staff had way more input than they probably normally do, and it was a true team effort. I thought Matt called a really good game. I have a lot of confidence in him, and I feel like him being elevated to co-coordinator is going to really help his development. Of not only just being a great coordinator down the road one day, but being a really good quarterback coach and really evolve into a really good offensive play caller. And Mike Sanford's going to be able to do that for us. I mean, those two working together, as well as our other staff members, it's going to be really a group effort moving forward. But obviously, Mike will call the plays and brings that load of knowledge and so much energy and positivity to that room. And I think that's what's going to really help us take this thing to even the next level, is just his energy, his positive spirit, his knowledge, and mix that with the guys we already have. I think that's going to be a great recipe for us. Bryce Witham is kind of the unsung hero of the game. I mean, you look at the two plays he made. One, he's open, but, you know, to even be able to call that, that's a pretty risky call. It's a high risk, but high reward. And we knew that they were going to be able to stack the box. We had to be able to throw some type of pop pass, and we did. And I thought Seth executed it perfectly. It was a great play call. And then the fourth and one, you know, there was a lot of discussion back and forth. And, you know, that was a big time play for us because, you know, we came down there to win the football game. We didn't come there to be close. We didn't come there to stay in it. We didn't come there to say, okay, well, hey, we gave it our best shot. And I thought we did a really good job executing that play. And Bryce Witham makes a heck of a catch. But that just shows. I mean, he's one of those guys that stuck around, you know, since we first got here. And now he's going into his senior year. And I think hopefully that'll propel him to even do some more things, because he's had a few years of some injuries that have held him back. And hopefully this helps him propel into 2020.
If somebody asks you, what's the future of this football team now, what would you say?
I'm sorry, repeat that.
Someone asked you, what is the future of this team? How would you respond?
Well, it's the future is very similar to hopefully what you see. You know, we're doing everything we can to build a championship football program. And the one thing I love is we ended with a championship. You know, I mean, this is two straight years we've ended with a championship, with a bowl championship. You know, we tied for the West in the Big Ten West this year. And when we were picked sixth in the West, it's pretty amazing what these young men were able to do. They accomplished over 100 nevers. Which have never happened in this program. And think about that for a second. 100 firsts at the University of Minnesota, who's been around 137 years. And this team accomplished over 100 of them. And they're not just small things. They're huge accomplishments. And now we've had over, I think, close to 60 adding to the bowl game restorations that haven't happened in maybe 100 years or 115 years. I mean, this team won 11 games for the first time in 115 years. I think that speaks volumes about where this program's headed. And to be able to do it in 3 years is very, very difficult to do, especially from where we were 3 years ago, a record aside, in terms of where we were as a program, as a culture, to be able to do what we've done. Now, we've got to find a way to be able to change our best, not just in the number of wins, but in how we're going to continue to grow higher and make this program move forward.
PJ, in all fairness, the last time they won 11 games, two or three of those were against high school teams, and the schedule's gotten a little tougher over the years. I would imagine that one group that responded really well to that victory was your recruiting class, and it seems like you've got a large number of those kids coming to school this month.
We do. You know, I think one thing people always ask, like, does this season really help in recruiting, and were you able to get a different caliber player? You know, we get the caliber players that we want and we need, period. Wins are never going to be able to dictate that for us. You know, we had one of the best recruiting classes here in Minnesota history, and we won five games. We're going to go after the right people, and we're not necessarily going to change who we recruit just because we have a W in a column. We have a certain system. We have a certain culture. We're looking for a certain type of student-athlete. What the season does is it solidifies who you're recruiting, and it helps you in 2021 solidify who you're recruiting. And I think that's what happened in 2020. I mean, we had everybody basically committed to us by the end of the year. And, you know, we didn't have anybody necessarily commit to us because of this bowl game, but we were able to sign, we were able to sign 24, which gives us the ability to have maybe one more for somebody that either pops late, whether it's a transfer, whether it's a high school kid, whether it's somebody who makes the grades later, but it's we're going to keep that option open. But we're really excited about our recruiting class, really excited about where we're headed. And I tell you what, when you go around the country right now, and everybody's rowing the boat and everybody knows our brand, and our brand is very big nationally right now.
Can you see any members of the new recruiting class playing it at all?
Well, you know, I do. I really do. You know, defensively, you know, we're going to lose seven defensive players. And I think that's critical because we're going to have some young players on defense play for us. Now, we have some very talented defensive players coming in that are going to have to, and that we feel are capable of doing that. Some are coming early. Some are not coming early. Same on offense. You know, we lose Rodney and Shannon, and, you know, we have Muhammad Ibrahim back, and people know Cam Wiley, and then you bring in Kai Thomas, and, you know, you got Jason Williamson coming back from injury. So you've got people there, but you're going to have people come in and play for you. When you only lose 11 seniors and you bring in a huge recruiting class, you now have the ability to be able to play those young people and maybe not redshirt them just this particular year. You might be able to play them on special teams, add depth to your roster. But defensively, we're going to rely on some young guys to be able to really help us. Whether those are redshirt freshmen, whether those are sophomores, or whether those are true freshmen, we're going to find a way to be able to get the best people on the field that can really help us. And we've got some guys that are coming in that are incredibly talented but are just going to be very young.
PJ, final question about the game. We were only 9-10 rows behind the Gopher bench. It felt like a Minnesota crowd. I'm not sure what it felt like from your point of view. And were you able to hear the row the boat chant that started almost spontaneously in the fourth quarter and I thought just took over the stadium?
You know, I was. I definitely heard it. I think that was really special. I think there's one thing that I wanted to truly do on this whole radio show was to thank our fans. I could not tell you how much we appreciate as a program, as a football program, how many people actually came to our game. And what that does is it helps us in future bowl games. You know, we might have had a perception of, well, Minnesota doesn't travel when you go to bowl games, because that's a huge aspect of who picks you. Well, we just blew that stigma out of the water. We just blew that stereotype right out of the water. Minnesota does travel. And we traveled bigger and heavier than Auburn traveled. And they're not that far from Tampa. And when you look at that blue blood of a program, and we were able to trump that, and it almost felt like a home game to our players, I cannot thank our fans enough for showing up, for being loud. I heard the row the boat chant, and I was so excited to hear that. And I think our players were too. And that was able to help our 9-minute drive. I mean, we ended the season with a 9-minute drive on offense. It didn't score, but took a knee. And I think that we were able to control that. And we're just so thankful that our fans are so excited about what we're doing and all of Gopher Athletics, because there's so many good things happening right now in Gopher Athletics. And Mark Coyle deserves all that credit. And, you know, he's a special athletic director, and we wouldn't be here without him. So I just want to thank all of our fans for all that you do and all your continued support, and can't wait to see you through the spring.
Mark Coyle will be our guest right after this interview, and Sid has a final question. Sid?
One last question. Could you see this coming at all?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely can see it. You know, you don't sit there and what you guys asked me before is, you know, what would you consider a successful season in 2019? I said, as long as we change our best and we're every day better than we were the day before, and that this team can fulfill their potential. I think they exceeded their potential. So that's a success to me. Wins or losses aside, this team found a way to do things nobody else thought they could, but they thought all along that they could. And when you have really special people and doing special things together, and they don't care who gets the credit, special things happen like this. And that's the type of team and culture we're building. We have a long way to go. We're excited about the future. We have a lot of work to do. But as we continue to grow higher into 2020, you know, it's very optimistic for the future.
PJ Fleck, without a doubt, you deserve a nomination as Coach of the Year. What a job you've done. Unbelievable. Last year, Georgia Tech. This year, Auburn. Unbelievable. How lucky the Gophers are to have you as coach. And for appearing on this show, we'll get you a Murray certificate. Thank you. With Pat Murray wants you to come in and celebrate you and your lovely bride this big victory.
We definitely will. Row the boat, Sky Mile, go Gophers, and Happy New Year, everybody.
All right, that's PJ Fleck. Take a quick break. We'll talk to his boss, Mark Coyle, right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back. As promised, we go from the winning football coach to his boss, the athletic director at the University of Minnesota. Sid, say good morning to Mark Coyle.
Mark Coyle, how much do you think that win over Auburn is going to help your Gopher ticket sale? Have you seen any indication so far?
Yeah, good morning, guys, and Sid, good morning to you. You know, obviously, just a great, great win for our program over Auburn down there, and we've had a lot of excitement with our season ticket sales and expect that to continue to happen for us.
Maxie, I understand you're back. You want to get in the conversation here with Mark Coyle?
As best I can. Mark, I'm down here covering the Vikings, and it's kind of fun. I always like to watch the local news and see what's going on, and you realize when you're down here how many colleges there are that they cover between LSU and Tulane and all those things. And as you're watching all the highlights that are around, you're thinking, boy, Minnesota really does have a golden opportunity, pardon the pun, because it's a standalone as a Division I institution, particularly in football and basketball. And you could just see that mushroom with the football season.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Mike, and good luck to the Vikings today. We'll be cheering for them. But there's no doubt, Mike, you know, being the only Division I program in the state of Minnesota, and when our football program, as you all know, we have a very good broad-based program that does it great across the board in all 25 sports. But when you have your football program get those big wins in the Outback Bowl and over Penn State early in the year and to go 11-2, definitely brings a lot of attention to our program, which is awesome, not only for our program, but for the entire university in the state of Minnesota.
How many people did you have at Tampa?
Shit, I'm having a hard time hearing you with that.
His question was, how many people did you have at Tampa? That's kind of a two-part question because there's some people who bought tickets through the department, and then that massive number of people who showed up.
Yeah, you know, Dave, you were down there. It was great to see you and Linda down there. And obviously, you know, we sold, I think, approximately 8,000 tickets of our allotment for the Outback Bowl, and Jim McVay and the Outback people were so excited about our turnout. Then it seemed like we had another 20,000 Gopher fans down there. So it was a great turnout. I think even the Auburn people talked about how it felt like it was a home game for the Gophers. So we're just so grateful for the fans that traveled down there to support our program.
You know, Mark Sid asked about the impact on ticket sales. You've got another impact coming up. Teams that have done well in bowls historically, there's probably more research on the Rose Bowl, have seen an uptick in contributions. There's, you know, it happened at Northwestern, it happened at Wisconsin. I have to believe with the campaign that you've got going to finish the facilities and campaigns beyond that, that this is going to be an extraordinarily positive moment.
Yeah, well, Dave, we're so grateful for the people who are part of our Golden Gopher Fund and make contributions to our athletic department and our program. You know, we can't do the special things we do without that support from our great fans. And when people make a gift to the Golden Gopher fan, it helps us provide a first-class experience for all 700 student-athletes in all 25 programs. And, Dave, you're around our program a lot, and you see where, you know, this past season of the Autonomy 5 conferences, so the Big 5 conferences, there's 65 institutions, and Minnesota was the only one that had a winning record in every team sport. So we're awful proud of that. We got the highest grade point average from APR in the country for public schools. And again, those things can't be done without people who make gifts to our program. And obviously with the success we're having on and off the field, there's no doubt that fundraising has seen an uptick and will continue to see an uptick. And we're just so grateful for people's support as we provide this great experience for all of our student-athletes.
Well, is this going to help your financial situation to pay up your – you asked him that. What have you really heard from people since you won that game? What's the reaction of your fans? What have you heard? Has there been a lot of plus? What is overall reaction?
Yes, Sid, I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time to hear you with that music in the background. Dave, could you...
Yeah, we'll pod that music down a little bit. Yeah, he wanted to know what reaction you've had personally based on, you know, you're well-connected around the country and the AD circuit and others, plus some long-term fans. I would imagine that your phone lit up.
Yeah, we got a lot of, you know, I tell people anytime you have a big win, it's amazing how many calls and text messages you receive. And I can tell you after we won that game against a really good Auburn team, you know, heard from a lot of people across the country. And, you know, I can tell you, Sid and Dave and Mike, when we built Athletes Village and when that got in place for us, that really transformed our program because now we have facilities that can compete with anybody in the country. We have lots of people with the men's Final Four here last year and the women's Final Four here. You know, people had a chance to look at it and see it, and they see the great things going on here in Minnesota. So we have a lot of interest from people across the country who are excited to see the success of all of our programs, which has just been awesome.
Hey, Mark, you feeling good about the extension of P.J. Fleck at the time it happened?
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, we're just so grateful for P.J. and Heather. You know, when we had a chance to sit down with them both 3 years ago and talk about coming to Minnesota, you know, P.J. talked very specifically about doing these special things, and we felt like we could, you know, do these things because we had everything in place, the infrastructure, the great fan support, the great support from our Board of Regents and administration. So it's just nice to see, you know, him with a long-term contract, him committed to us, we're committed to him, and we're just very excited and optimistic about our future, not only with our football program, but with all 25 programs.
Max, do you have a final question for Mark?
Yeah, Mark, I just went, Ohio State gets bounced in the semifinals, and I can't remember. Is there a huge impact in the Big Ten with them not making the national championship game? Is it per unit, or the fact that they made the Final Four pretty much spread that income out?
Yeah, Mike, where they do the units, Mike, is when you talk about the NCAA men's basketball tournament, where they do the units, and as the teams advance, you accumulate more revenue. You know, obviously, if Ohio State would advance to that championship game, that would have helped all of us, but I can tell you, with them being in the semifinals, that's a big lift, not only for Minnesota, but for the other 13 members of the Big Ten Conference. You know, I give Commissioner Delaney a lot of credit, and now Commissioner Warren, who officially took over this week, you know, I give them a lot of credit because the Big Ten does a phenomenal job of sharing that revenue equally across all the programs, and it really helps all of us compete at a high level and to make all of our institutions and fan bases proud.
Have you put the season tickets for sale for the next year?
Yeah, you know, Sid, if I heard the question correctly about ticket, you know, again, we expect a huge uptick in ticket sales, and again, are just so grateful for all the people who support our program this past season, not only for football, but all of our programs. And we've got a women's hockey game this afternoon on campus at 2:00 against Yale, and then a men's basketball game tonight at 6:30 against Northwestern. And would encourage people to come out and support those programs because they got special things going on.
Sid's question was specifically about football tickets. If people wanted to get in line for football tickets for 2020, do they do it best to do that online in the call center tomorrow?
Yep, Dave. We've had ticket sales have been available for about a month now, so if people have an interest getting tickets, we'd love for them to go to gophersports.com, or they can call our ticket office, and we'd love to take care of them, get involved in supporting Gopher football.
All right, I think Sid.
Mark, well, always a pleasure. Have you in the air, and we'll get you a merge certificate. Thank you.
Mark, thanks so much. And you mentioned men's basketball. Richard Pitino is going to join us at 11:15, so we'll be talking about that game specifically. All right, that's Mark. Hey, Maxie, are you still on? We got 45 seconds here.
I am. Okay, I got the inactive list. Minnesota Vikings. Laquan Treadwell is the only one I guess I expected to be active that's not.
All right.
Go ahead.
What are you doing playing the piano on TV in front of me?
When I go down to Bourbon Street, you got, you know, winning.
Is there a side of you that we don't know?
Yeah, and
Once you get to Bourbon Street, everything changes, Dave. You know that. Yeah, the inner stuff comes out.
It's supposed to stay on Bourbon Street. Hey. It just made local TV. Hey, we're out of time, but we'll have Mike available to us. He's down in New Orleans, obviously, for the Viking game. We had an hour to go. We'll start things out. Matt Maka, Richard Pitino, then Viking Talk. Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Mike.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.